Have you come up with some good stuff to talk about for influencing fathers? I did brush my teeth this morning. How come nobody's up closer here? Seriously? It's like you guys are way back there. But I'm glad you're here this morning, aren't you? That we can be in the house of God and worship together. We've been in a series called What's in a Name? And basically what we've been doing is learning the different names of God. Pastor Don has given 8 names that we're going to study over the rest of this month, which is today, obviously, and then next month, looking at 8 different names, hopefully to help you and I define the many character qualities of God as we study His name. And I remember PD talking way back in the first week about how many of us probably don't even really know the meaning of our own names. So I kind of did a little Jeffrey Lee burpee study this week, and I found out that my first and middle name was German English, and my last name is French Canadian. So when you get right down to it, we're all just a bunch of mutts, right? Because we got all of these different heritages going on here. But Jeffrey means divinely peaceful or God's peace. Lee means sheltered from the storm. I thought, wow, I got a pretty cool name. But then when I looked up burpee, I could not find anything with that. And seriously, if you went to school with me, everybody else knew what my name meant because I got picked on more than you can imagine with that last name. Even some of the guys here call me Burp all the time. I'm just grateful they don't add more to that. But in the 2010 U.S. Census survey that they took, there was 1,337 people in the United States with the last name Burpee. That's not very many people, is it? So most people have never, ever met anybody with the last name Burpee. It's really less than 278,000 people have my last name. So here's the truth of the matter this morning. If you know a Burpee, consider yourself lucky. Because it's a rare name, okay? Aren't you glad you married me, Mary? Okay, good. See, we've looked at 2 names of God so far, right? You remember the 2 names? First one was what? Elohim. Okay, do you remember what it meant? God is what? He's creator. He's a creative God. Last week, Pastor Don talked about Yahweh, which means what? Personal God. He's looking for a personal, intimate relationship with you and I. Today's an interesting name. It's actually called Abba. Abba, which actually means the God who is intimate. So we have a creator God who loves you so much, created all this beautiful stuff for us, who actually created you and I in His image. He wants to have a personal relationship with you, but He even wants to go deeper than that. He wants you and I to have an intimate personal relationship with Him. So if you do a Google search for the word Abba, you get like 14 million hits, and here's one of those hits. Who that group is? What? ABBA. Wow. A Swedish pop group that was so popular, like I think like 1974 to 1983, right? Who listened to that music? Classic music. I even still listen to the 70s. That tells you how old I am. But the thing of it is, this group sold like 385 million records worldwide. That's a lot of records. Some of you probably look at me and go, what's a record, right? What's a record? Ask your mom and dad. I'm not the only old person here. But anyway, as I thought about that group when I was not a Christian, I thought, Abba, that's a weird name, right? But then as I became a Christian, I thought, you know what? That name's actually in the Bible. So I wondered how they come up with that name. Does anybody know how they came up with the name Abba? Paul? Yeah, it's an acronym for the first initials of each one of their first names. That's crazy to think about. It's Agnetha, Born, Benny, and Annifred. A-B-B-A. That's how they came up with that word. Now, if you look at that song, Take a Chance on Me, I think you and I can probably twist those lyrics around and almost make it sound like God is singing to you and I, right? Man, if you're feeling down, if you're all alone, do what? Take a chance on me. We could actually probably twist that around. But what I want us to understand today is Abba is one of those great names of God. It really is. The word Abba is an Aramaic word for father, and it signifies that very close relationship that a father has with his child. And that relationship of trust that a child puts into his daddy. I read a book a couple of years ago by Larry Crabb, and it was called The Papa Prayer. Anybody ever read that book? It's a really good book. It really teaches you and I how to actually pray to our Father in Heaven like He's our daddy. And there was a story in that book that I thought would fit this message perfectly today. Listen to this short story that he wrote in there. When our younger son, Ken, was 8 years old, I took him for a weekend of fun in New York City. The first night in our hotel room, he sat up in bed wearing his Superman PJs, and he asked, "Dad, we're here to have fun, right?" I nodded. He stared at me. He opened his eyes widely and breathlessly asked, "Can we stay up past 8? Can you just picture an 8-year-old saying that? Can we stay up past 8? I leaned over, looked into his eyes, and said, "Absolutely, let's party." So they ordered pizza, watched a movie on TV, and the little guy was sleeping by 9:30, all partied out. A great time, right? A night to remember. The next day, guess what they did? They went to Central Park and played hide-and-seek. Would that not be a cool place to play hide-and-seek? Went to Central Park. At one point, I hid behind the trees not more than 20 feet from where he was leaning against another tree with his eyes closed, doing what? Counting to 10, right? "Ready or not, here I come," he shouted. And I didn't let him find me. I kept circling the thick tree trunk, staying just out of his sight, but he was never out of my sight. After a long 2 minutes, I saw that excited smile on his face suddenly disappear, and I saw a look of sheer terror come over his face. "Where's my dad? Did my dad disappear? Did some mugger come and knock him down and drag him away?" I could see that look in my son's eyes. I immediately stepped out from behind the tree. "Dad!" he shouted. And he ran up and jumped into my arms and held me tight. At that moment, my son completely forgot about that shopping trip that I had promised him. All he wanted to do was be with me, to stay close by my side, to keep me in his sight, to go where I wanted to go, and to hold my right hand tightly. He was so afraid that something had happened to his dad, and when he saw his dad, man, just like that, into his father's arms. Isaiah 41, verse 13, and the verses I'm giving today are all from the New Living Translation. But listen to what Isaiah 41:13 says. It says, "For I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand and who says to you, 'Do not be afraid, I will help you.'" Isn't that awesome? God cares for you, as the song that we sang said, as a what? Good, good father cares for his children. That's our Abba Father. That's who we have in heaven that loves us. When you look at the name Father in Scripture, in the Old Testament, you'll find Father 613 times. Pretty crazy. But only 4 of those times does it talk about God. In the New Testament, we find Father 419 times, and 268 of those times is actually referring to God. So what it boils down to is when we see the name Father in the Old Testament, who are they talking about? Our earthly fathers. That's pretty crazy. Like over 600 times talking about earthly fathers. Whereas in the New Testament, it's mostly speaking about who? The Heavenly Father. Pretty crazy. In the book of John, Jesus intimately refers to his Father 107 times in the book of John alone. And when you look at chapter 17, which I think the title above 17 in my Bible says the high priestly prayer, when you look at that, Jesus is literally lifts his eyes to heaven and he spends that whole chapter praying. And he uses the word Father 8 times in that chapter alone. So somebody has figured this out. Approximately 25,000 words of Jesus has been recorded in Scripture. 25,000 words. And out of those 25,000 words, guess what? Jesus spoke about his Father in heaven at least 181 times. That's a lot of times. What that really means is one out of every 140 words, one out of every seven sentences, guess who Jesus is talking about? Talking about his dad. How many of us talk about our dads that often? I didn't. Did you? Jesus' central purpose when he came to this earth after the fall in the garden was to do what? What do you think his central purpose was? It was to come back and restore you and I to a right relationship with Abba Father. Amen? That's why he came. And in Scripture, when you look at the word Abba, I know Pastor Don talked about Elohim and Yahweh, how many thousands of times that's in Scripture. You know what? The word Abba is in Scripture how many times? Why is that so important? Three times is the only time you're going to see that. And when you see the word Abba in Scripture, it is always followed by, guess what? Father. Abba Father. Two people spoke it. Jesus was one, and the Apostle Paul spoke it twice. All three times in the New Testament. The first time is, we're really familiar with this, it's in Mark 14:36, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he gets arrested, and what does he pray out? He says, Abba Father. We see it again in Romans 8:15. Abba Father is mentioned in relationship to the Spirit's work of adoption, which makes you and I children of God and heirs of Christ. And then Paul mentions it again in Galatians 4:6, also in the context of adoption, where the Spirit in our hearts cries out what? Abba Father. So only three times we see that. So like Lisa said, we're talking about fathers today. We're talking about earthly fathers. We're talking about our heavenly Father. Today could be a Father's Day message. So I really want us to focus on dads today. Not that moms aren't important, but I think dads need to understand the important role that we have in our children's lives. I want you to think about this for a second. What image comes to your mind when you hear the word father? You talked a little bit about influence around the table, but what is the first thing that comes to your mind? What's the image when you hear dad? Anybody? Okay, what else? Didn't you guys have dads? Disciplinarian, yeah, for sure. See, each one of us in this room is going to have a different image or point of view when it comes to our dads. True? We all had different dads. And if your father was loving and respected and had good character and all of that kind of stuff that comes with that, he's accepting you, you know, that he was a forgiving dad, that he was a present dad, he was right involved in your life, you're going to have a different view of your dad, true? You will. But for many of us here, our fathers did not do that for us. The memories and thoughts we have of our dads is thoughts of fear or rejection or anger or disappointment, or your dad didn't forgive you. He was very unforgiving, or abusive dads, or even absent. The spectrum is like way wide here, isn't it? We're somewhere in between all of that. So as I studied this over the last couple of weeks, it really kind of brought up some feelings about my own dad. Mary said, you know, you seem to have struggled with this message more than you normally do. I go, I don't think so. But maybe I was just trying to hide stuff, because I really think I did. Because it brought back stuff from my childhood that maybe I haven't dealt with completely. I don't know. But I was 20, my dad was 68 years old when he died of a massive heart attack. I was 45. So he's been gone 21 years coming up here on Good Friday. And during his 68 years, I saw him have three nervous breakdowns. He had, you've seen those pill bottles that's got SMTWTFS on them, right? Every day of the week. My dad had one of them, and they were full of pills for antidepressing, several antidepressant pills, and I don't know what else was there. And so after he passed, you know, some of the stories were coming out, and I kept wondering why my dad fathered the way he did, because in my opinion, he was not a good father. And so I remember having a conversation with my aunt, and to give you the Reader's Digest version, basically, my dad grew up on a farm just west of Dowling, 160-acre farm. He was one of 13 kids. And he was 8 years old in 1940 when my grandfather finally saved enough money to buy a brand new 1940 9N Ford tractor. You think that was not big in the 40s? And he had that new tractor sitting in the barn. And just like any good kid, my dad and two of his brothers went out to the barn, and guess what they were going to do? They're going to play on the tractor. Anybody ever done that before? I have. Get on there and steer the wheel and shift the lever and stomp the brakes and pretend you're pulling something. That's what my dad and my two uncles did. Problem is, Grandpa left key in the tractor, and my dad figured out how to start it. Not only did he get it started, but he also got it in gear. Now, if you know anything about the old barns, they had these ramps that came up to a set of double doors, right? You drive in on this great big old wooden deck, and at the other side of the barn was what? Another set of wooden doors. I kept thinking, what are those doors for? Well, my dad got that tractor rolling, and guess what happened? My dad found out where those two sets of doors went. They drove that tractor straight out of the barn, dropped 20 feet into the feedlot. That day, my two uncles and dad almost lost their lives. Two of my uncles had severe head injuries that affected them to the day they died, and my dad's scalp was ripped from like right here all the way back. And back in them days, they didn't just run you to the hospital like that, right? I mean, I can't even imagine the way my grandmother felt at that time. Now, I know my grandpa loved his kids, but I know also from what my aunt told me is that my grandfather almost lost three of his sons that day. But you know what he was more concerned about? The tractor. The brand new tractor that just got destroyed. And when I look at that, it helps me understand my dad a little bit more. My grandfather did not forgive my dad for that. Never forgave him. And my dad carried that burden with him for 60 years. Actually took it to the grave with him. And this is, we're talking like 21 years after his own father died. When my dad retired from Fisher Body, you know, he worked there for 30 years on nights, and he had a 40-acre farm. My dad had, we had 8, 9, and 4 tractors on the farm. And my dad was buying all these tractor parts, all kinds of parts. I kept thinking, what is he going to do? Well, his dream was to restore some tractors. Do you know what the first tractor, well, let me back up. It wasn't the first tractor. It's the only tractor he restored. A 1940 9N Ford tractor. Why do you think he did that? He's still looking for acceptance and forgiveness from his dad at 68 years old. And I'm going, man, it's just not right. If you had a father that was not around when you needed him, and you've experienced trauma and abuse and extreme discipline, like maybe my dad did, you are going to have a difficult time pursuing an intimate, trusting, loving relationship with him. True? It's going to be hard. Because unconsciously, what we do is the picture we see of our fathers is the picture we see of who? Our Heavenly Father. That's the picture. And the problem is those misconceptions will disconnect you. You're going to be disconnected, and you'll struggle with that if you don't give it back to Him. See, by design, the relationships with our earthly fathers prepare you and I for the relationship with who? Our Heavenly Father. That's what these relationships are supposed to do. And if you and I have a Father that's tender, loving, and compassionate, how do we view God? As tender, loving, and compassionate. Amen? That's how we view Him. But likewise, if our fathers were abusive and emotionally and physically gone, that's how we're going to view Him too. We're going to view Him in the same way. I can guarantee you this, that every one of us in this room have this one thing in common. We all want to have a papa, daddy, Abba Father relationship with our dads. Amen? That's what we want to have. Some of us even dream of the perfect father. And we yearn for that dad that will be in our lives, that will be there for us, that will keep his promises to us, that will look after us, someone that we can get close to, that we can run up and jump into his arms and put our arms around his neck and bury our heads in his chest and know that everything is going to be okay. That's the kind of dad we want. It really is. And guess what? We have a father like that. You know what his name is? It's God. It's Abba Father. We have a dad like that. And when we hear the sound of his voice, and when we hear his footsteps, and we feel that big hug from God, we know that everything's going to be what? It's all going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But for many Christians, there's something that's just not right. Something's just not right. We hear his footsteps, and sometimes we get afraid. We pull back. That's not normal. Just hearing the word Father can provoke a lot of different feelings in you. True? It can provoke those feelings. The idea of a heavenly Father actually sitting on the floor with his arms outstretched, wanting you to come running to him and jump into his arms, seems so far-fetched to some of us, even unthinkable. And the reason that is because we have no reference point, because some of our dads were never like that. We never experienced that. What a person believes about God is very important. Would you agree with that? It's very important. It's going to affect everything about us, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Even our prayers are going to be affected by the way that you and I picture God. Even our prayers are going to be that way. And Satan is so good with messing with you and I. He is. I mean, one of his favorite tools to pull out of the toolbox is the tool of fear. You ever had that tool hit you before? The tool of fear? Fear is a powerful influencer in our lives. It really is. But here's what fear really is. Fear is really just Satan's perversion of our faith. That's all it is. And when Satan looks at you and he tells you, you need to believe what I'm telling you, what does the Bible say about that? Bible says he's a what? He's a liar and he's the father of all lies. So why would we believe him? And he goes on and he says, you know what? That's not going to work out very well. You shouldn't even try to attempt to do that. Oh, by the way, your prayers aren't good enough. You're not good enough. You're nothing but a hypocrite. And oh, by the way, remember that sin you just did this morning? Oh, God can't forgive you of that. That's a bad one. You can't. There's no way he's going to love you after that. And that's how we view that at times. Fear always tells you and I what we're not, what we don't have, what we can't do, and what we will never be. That's what fear tells you and I. But listen to what Romans 8:15 tells you and I. Romans 8:15 says this, you are a child of God who can call him what? Abba Father. If you're a believer today, you're a child of God, and you can call him Abba Father. There was a study done in the University of Pennsylvania, and it indicated that children who feel a closeness and warmth with their fathers, get this, are twice as likely to go to college. 75% less likely to have a child in their teen years, 80% less likely to be incarcerated, and 50% less likely to show signs of depression. That's crazy to think about. In another 27-year study, researchers found that the number one factor in developing empathy in children was, guess what? Father involvement. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Father involvement. Fathers spending regular quality time with their children translates into children who are compassionate and empathetic adults. That's what it boils down to. So we need to face the fact. The fact is this, fathers play an important, almost an irreplaceable role in healthy child development. When I think of my own dad, my mom and dad divorced when I was in the middle of fifth grade. And in that 3-year period of time, my mom remarried. She had several boyfriends during that time, but she remarried, got pregnant, had a kid, got a divorce, and remarried my dad again in that short period of time. And my dad worked at Fisher Body at nights, and he farmed during the day, and guess what I didn't see? I didn't see my dad hardly at all because he was always working. My dad was in the home But he was what? Not present. He wasn't present. Sons with absent fathers are more likely to become what? Absent fathers. It's just the trend. Daughters are less likely to engage in risky sexual behavior if they have a close, intimate relationship with their fathers. Proven fact. 63% of all youth suicides happen from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaways come from fatherless homes. 85% of all behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from, you guessed it, fatherless homes. You and I can't turn on the radio, the TV, social media. Do they even still have newspapers? Or pick up a newspaper and not see that one of the many new crises that we face here in America. True? Seems like there's a new one every day, a new crisis. Systematic racism. We hear that one all the time. We hear climate crisis, COVID-19 crisis. We have an economic crisis, a hunger crisis. And oh, by the way, guess what? In Texas, they had a what? They had a weather crisis down there, didn't they? I'm not saying these crises are not important, but there's a crisis that I believe outweighs every one of them. And you know what it is? 18.3 million children, that's one in four, live in a home with no biological, step, or adoptive father. 18.3 million kids. There is a father factor in nearly every societal issue that we have in America today, and even outside of America. We have a father absence crisis in America. And it's time that you and I, as fathers, do something about it. Amen? We have to do something about it. Somebody has to be the first one to put a stop to it. In my family, it was going to be me. Who's it going to be in your family? It's something we have to think about. Because there's a ripple effect going on here. And it doesn't matter if you've got a pebble, a 20-pound rock, or a lighted stick of dynamite. When you drop that in the water, what's going to happen? You get a ripple effect, don't you? Depending on the drop, depends on how big the effect is. A father's choice to leave his children is going to cause a ripple effect. It will influence and impact your children, your grandchildren, and possibly even your great-grandchildren. Do you realize that this morning? And if your dad was not a part of your life, I just want you to think for a moment what his absence was like for you. Think about that just for a second. If your dad was not part of your life, what was that absence like for you? Now think about you, Dad. What's your absence going to be like for your children? Well, me and the missus were just not getting along. I mean, you know what? It's probably better we divorce so that my kids will be better. Seriously, did you not hear what I just gave you for statistics? Are your children going to be better? Well, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. No, it's not. All you got to do is water your own grass. That's all you got to do. Well, I need to work overtime because we got a lot of debt to pay. Listen, working overtime is not going to help your children. Amen? It may help your pocketbook, but it's not going to help your kids. And I think it's high time that you and I as a dad figure out that we are making a difference, whether it's a good difference or a bad difference. I don't know about you. I want to make a good difference in my family. I want to make a difference. What ripple effect do you want to cause today? That's what we have to think about, is what ripple effect do you want in your family? J.I. Packer said this about Abba Father. He said, "What is a Christian? The question can be answered in many ways. But the richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God as Father. We are designed to be living in family. Our highest privilege and deepest need is to experience the Holy God as our loving Father, to be able to approach Him without fear, and to be assured of His fatherly care and concern." Abba, the God who is intimate. See, intimacy is one of the hallmarks of the use of Father by Jesus and the early church. Because when Jesus and the disciples read Hebrew in the synagogue, but when they did everyday speech, and they were preaching. They spoke in Aramaic. So in Hebrew, the word Ab, A-B, is translated father. But in Aramaic, the word Abba was actually kind of a word that they said was like baby language, like when your little ones say da-da mama, you know what I mean? It's almost like a baby language. And the rabbis would say that a small child would learn the word daddy. Well, I back up. He would learn the word Abba, which is daddy, or Emma, which is mummy, before they could learn any other word. And I read this little clip in the Gospel Coalition that said this. In the pre-Christian era, the usage of the word broadened so that Abba, as a form of addressing one's father, was no longer restricted to just small children, but it was used also by adult sons and daughters. Thus, when we read Mark 14:36, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying to his daddy. Remember that prayer before he was arrested? He said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, but not my will be done, your will be done. We've got a 33-year-old man here that's praying a childlike prayer. He's talking to his daddy like, Papa, I know what's ahead of me here. I can feel it. I know what I got to do. I don't want to do this, but if it's not my will, but what? Your will be done. And see, when I look at Jesus' struggle here in that garden where he's literally sweating drops of blood, I think that that suffering that was overwhelming him almost to anguish and sorrow had nothing to do with him going to that cross for you and I. I think it had everything to do with the fact that he was about to be forsaken from his dad for a time. He was about to have that sweet, intimate fellowship broken with his dad the minute the sin of the world came onto his shoulders. That's what he was concerned about, because you think about it. When we read Scripture, morning, noon, and night, what was Jesus doing? He was having fellowship with his dad. He was so close to him. He had never experienced that being cut off, and he was about to experience that. Papa, Daddy, Abba Father, reveals the intimate relationship that our Savior had with his Father, and he wants that for you and I this morning. He wants that same thing for us. So in closing this out, I just got two simple fill-ins for you in your notes. Two simple ones. The first one is God is an intimate Father. God is an intimate Father. In John 17:21, the first part of that verse, this is Jesus speaking. He said, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. That's what Jesus wants for you and I. I'm sorry, I need to take that. Well, I shouldn't do this in church, should I? Have you ever done that before? Seriously? Because here's the thing. You and I are created for intimacy. True? We're created for that. Yet we often walk away from it. See, this thing right here, in my opinion, it can be good. But what did I just do? I'm standing in front of you trying to help you understand about your Father, and I felt like I'm not the president, I guarantee you. This was not that important. But what does this do for you and I? I think we have a stronger relationship with our phones sometimes than we do with other people. And with God especially, amen? Because you and I could be sitting and doing devotion. I can be doing a message. We can be sitting around the table with our family members. Or you could even be at work. And if that phone goes off, what do we think we have to do? We have to look at it because it might be important. Seriously? I can be doing a devotion, and all of a sudden, if I hear that go off, I think I got to check it. You know what? God's more important than that phone is, and I have to start doing a little better job with that. I don't know about you. We pursue things that make us feel good, don't we? We do. We do that. And we separate ourselves from people because we don't want to get hurt. And in the process of that, all we do is we feel empty. So while we feel empty, guess what we do? We fill that void that only God can fill with other stuff. How's that working for you? Only a deep connection with God can fill that void. At the center of intimacy, at the center of Jesus' identity, It was the relationship he had with his father, that intimate relationship that he had with his father. And as a result of that intimacy, that's why Jesus could say in John 14, 9, anyone, whoops, I need to silence that now. It's reminding me that somebody important got a hold of me. Sorry. It was just my wife. I asked her to do that, so anyway. But anyway, we have to look at that our fellowship is going to be broken if we're not careful here. Because if I'm doing a devotion and I check this thing out, it's going to stop my train of thought. True? It's going to get me off track. And it may make my day go sideways in a big time hurry. But as a result of the intimacy, this is what Jesus said in John 14, 9. Anyone who has seen me has what? Seen the Father. Do you know why he could say that? It's because that relationship with him was so intimate. It's like looking in a mirror. Somebody might ask you, what does God look like? And all you have to do is say what? Look at Jesus. Because they had that close of a relationship. So if you saw him, you actually are seeing the Father. God doesn't ask you and I to change anything when we come to him. I've heard so many people say, well, Jeff, I can't come to God right now. I smoke, I drink, I this, I that. I need to work overtime because of that. I can't go to church on Sunday. I need to clean some of this stuff up before I go to God. Do you know what God says? Come as you what? Come as you are. He says, come as you are. Confess your sin. Get that forgiveness that only I can give you. And guess what? Start having a conversation with me, and we'll work on that for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it takes. Have a relationship with him. Conversing with him actually happens by reading his word and what? In prayer. Well, you know, I don't really know how to pray, Jeff. There's got to be a formula to praying, right? No, there's not. You and I can walk outside those doors right there and start having a what? Conversation. Do you realize that prayer is just a conversation with who? With God. That's all it is. It's you and I telling him what's on our hearts and what's in our heads. That's all prayer is a conversation with God. 1 Peter 5, 7 says this, give all your worries and cares for who? To God. For he what? He cares for you. If you believe that verse, say amen. Then why do we keep going back over here when we give him those cares and still want to pick a couple of them back up? Why do we do that? Why do I do it? Why do you do it? We need to leave those cares with him because guess what? He knows how to handle them. We can't. That's why he says to you and I, bring those cares and burdens to me. I'll take care of them for you. You're not prepared to handle them. But we still think we want to have a little bit of what? Control. I want to control something in my life. When we've already learned, it doesn't work out very well, does it? At any moment, this is so cool, at any moment, you and I can talk to the creator of the universe. You realize that? The creator of the universe. Did you see that big full moon out there before the clouds covered it last night? He created that. We can talk to him. Not only that, but you and I can go into his presence boldly. I look at God in his office, and I believe God has an open door policy. As a matter of fact, I don't think he has a door. I think it's this huge archway. There's no door there. His phone is never busy, and he's never too busy to drop everything and listen to who? Yeah. Now think about the millions of prayers that are going up to him all at one time. And he's going to listen to my prayer with all of them? That's what kind of a father we have. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Now what I want you to see is the next two promises there. Because when you come boldly to the throne of God, guess what happens? There, what does it say? You will receive what? You will receive mercy and you what? Will find grace. Those are promises from God. You come boldly, you're going to receive mercy and grace every time. To help us when we, what? need it the most. Why are we not going to him? God is always available to hear the prayers of his children. Amen. He wants an intimate relationship with you and I. Number two is God is a giving father. He's a giving father. I don't know about you, but God has given me so much. I just can't even fathom it half the time. Romans 8, 14 and 15 says this. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Children of God. What that means is if you're a believer today, you are a what? You're a child of God if you're a believer today. That's a promise right there. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received the Spirit when he what? Adopted you as his own children. You realize God loves you that much that he's adopted you and I? And because of that, we get to call him what? Abba Father. Abba Father. Now, when you look at adoption, the motivation to adopt in Roman times was so much different than it is in our culture. Because in our culture, adoption was basically to be able to place a child into a what? A loving home, right? But when you look at Roman adoption, it was aimed at finding a suitable heir for a patriarch that was about to die with absolutely no sons. So if he had no son, he was looking for someone to be the heir of everything he was going to leave behind and run the family, whatever it was. God has chosen you and I for adoption. I want you to hear that today. He has chosen you and I for adoption, and there's nothing that you and I can do on our own for that. It was all given to him because he loves us that much. So I want you to try to wrap your brain around this. There's a picture that's going to pop up here. I want to know if you've seen this picture from the Hubble telescope that was published in September of 2012. Anybody ever seen that picture before? It's a crazy picture. Listen to this. Focusing on a field of view that is a very small fraction the size of the full moon. So all you have to do is think of that full moon last night. This is a small fraction of the size of that full moon. And this photo is called the Extreme Deep Field, the XDF. And it captures approximately 5,500 galaxies. Can you see that many in there? 5,500 galaxies in that little photo right there. In a field of view smaller than your pinky fingernail held at arm's length. Stick your pinky fingernails out there. You hold that at arm's length, and right there, if you're looking through the Hubble telescope, that's 5,500 galaxies. That's crazy to think about, isn't it? One which doesn't even include our Milky Way. I'm not talking about 5,500 stars or 5,500 solar systems. I'm talking 5,500 galaxies. Now, here's the cool part. Multiply that large number times the number of fingernail-sized fields of view it would take to cover every square inch of space. How many little fingernails is it going to take? That's how many galaxies are in our universe today. Is that crazy to think about? That's the universe in which you and I live in today. That's the universe that God created for you and I that has our Milky Way, that has our solar system, and oh, by the way, has just little old you and me in that big old universe. Listen to Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Even before he made the world. Did you hear that? Even before he what? He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Before he made any of that, he had you in mind. He decided in advance to adopt us and his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now get this. It goes on to say this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him what? It gave him great pleasure. I can only go, wow. I can't even wrap my brain around that. God chose you and I for adoption before he created any of that. Before he created any of that. And you and I have the same legal full standing as an adopted heir would have in the Roman culture, because it basically said God has given you and I full legal rights as sons and daughters, that we have an inheritance that will never go away. It's guaranteed for you and I this morning. And you and I are a permanent part of God's family as a believer in Christ today. Is that not some security? What you and I have to stop doing is blaming our dads for everything that's happened to us. We have to stop. We have to quit living like orphans and fatherless children. Through a dramatic series of events, you and I go from condemned orphans with absolutely no hope to, guess what? Adopted children with absolutely no fear. That's where we're at today. And when you look at adoption, 1.5 million kids are adopted in the United States. That's 2% of the population. 1 in 50 kids adopted. I don't know about you, but I am so blessed to be part of God's family where there's a 100% adoption rate. 100%. God is an intimate father. Amen? He's an intimate father that wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He's a giving father. See, becoming a child of God is the highest, but it's also the most humbling of honors. It really is. And because of it, you and I have a new relationship with God, and we are in a new standing with Him. And instead of running from God and hiding from Him like Adam and Eve did, guess what we need to do? Run to Him and call Him Abba Father. When we do that, we will find forgiveness in Christ. Amen? We just need to start running to our daddy. In closing, I'm going to have a video play here in just a second. I really want you to pay attention to this video because we're familiar with the story in Luke 15 that talks about who? The prodigal son, right? Pastor Don has done many messages on that and a lot of times focuses on the son or the sons, but what I want us to do today is focus for just a few minutes here on who? The father. Because in my opinion, this picture in Luke 15 is a perfect picture of God in an earthly father. In verse 20, this is what it says. While he was still a great way off, his father saw him, ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Watch this video. But what I know today is I have a heavenly father that's going to run to me. He's going to run to me. And I don't know if you realize this, but watching a man in that day that was a rich landowner, for him to run like that would have been a disgrace. It would have been a disgrace. That's how much he loved his son. Being an adopted child of God is the source of our hope this morning. It's the security of our future. And it's the motivation of a life worth living that God has called you and I to. And in the future, guess what? It's an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Amen? At the bottom of your notes, I don't want to go over them right now. There's three simple application questions. I just would challenge you to go home this week and try to answer those three questions honestly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you. Our Father, we just thank you for making yourself known to us as Abba Father. For many of us this morning, we tend to look at you from the experience that we have with our earthly fathers. And we can think of you as being distant and uncaring and harsh and sometimes even cruel. For those of us who hurt, and that hurt keeps coming to us, help us to know you truly as Abba Father. I ask for healing this morning, Lord, that your spirit will touch the brokenness. And may they know you as a loving, forgiving, faithful, intimate, and giving Father. May we find security and confidence in your love and live in the joy of being your children. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.